Let's go to Carmen now, listening in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Hi, Carmen.
Hello.
Hello, Carmen.
Hello. Hi. I'll just give you a little background. My daughter was cradle Catholic, and then she went away from the church, and she was having so many problems that I told her that maybe she should go to confession. So she went to confession, and the priest could not forgive her sins because her husband did not get an annulment. So this is not what I'm going to talk about. I'm just doing background. So now she's a devout Catholic without being able to go to communion or confession or communion. So she listens very closely to everything that's been said, and she and I have gone to a number of classes, and she asked me last night, who made all these regulations and things for going to communion if it wasn't like that when Jesus first did the water and wine and the bread and body?
Uh-huh. And do you have an idea of what kind of rules she's referring to? Did she say anything specific?
Well, you know, like not eating before, and I can't remember what else, but she did say that, not be eating before an hour and things like that.
Got it. Okay, so some of the customs, like the fast before Holy Communion. Okay, well, that's a good question, and I would say the answer is because the church, in her wisdom over time, recognized that there were certain things that would be good to do to enhance the experience of receiving Holy Communion. Now, we do see some rules laid down even during the time of the apostles. You can see this with St. Paul. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look at the latter half of the chapter, and you'll see that St. Paul gives two very specific rules: to not receive Holy Communion if you are in the state of mortal sin. Now, he doesn't use that term. St. John uses that term in 1 John chapter 5. St. Paul uses the term unworthy. He says, if you are unworthy, do not receive Holy Communion in an unworthy manner. So that's his way of saying, if you're in the state of serious sin, you haven't confessed your serious sin, do not go to confession, because he says that you are guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's a euphemism for murder. You're guilty of murder, he's saying. And then he follows that with a second rule, which is, if you do not recognize the body, or some translations say, if you do not discern the body, then do not receive Holy Communion, because you eat and drink damnation unto yourself. Some translations translate the word for damnation as condemnation. But the point is, really serious rules about when and when not to receive Holy Communion. So there we see, even during the time of the apostles, there were rules that were present surrounding the Holy Eucharist. And then as time went on, in an organic sort of development, the church recognized that there are other customs that are appropriate and necessary. And one of them was to prepare ourselves spiritually for receiving our Lord and Holy Communion. One way to do that is to fast. And somebody says, well, why? Well, look at Jesus. He went out into the desert before he began his public ministry, and he fasted for 40 days. I mean, I have a tough time getting through one day fasting. And I don't even know if what I do, what I call fasting, is technically fasting in the fullest sense the way Jesus did. But nonetheless, he, who didn't need to fast at all, he prepared himself, he steeled himself by fasting before he began his public ministry. So you and I, we can do a little bit of fasting in preparation for receiving our Lord under the appearances of bread and wine and Holy Communion. So it's those kinds of customs that are designed to enhance, to make it better. You know, so you might say to your daughter, it's kind of in the same way that, you know, we have these quote-unquote rules, if you want to think of them that way, that the bride wears a white wedding gown, and she carries flowers, and there are candles, and there's beautiful organ music. Those are all customs that are designed to enhance the experience of getting married. If you want to look at them as rules, I suppose you could say that, but they're not really rules for the sake of rules. They're customs that are designed to make things better, to heighten the experience and make it even more than it would otherwise be. Maybe if she started to look at it from that perspective, she would realize why the church does these things. I appreciate the call, Carmen. I've got to run for a quick timeout. I am coming right back, though, so please don't go away. Programming sponsored by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union, a Catholic credit union. More info at relevantradio.com/banking. And don't worry, in and around the phone calls, I have not forgotten about that study in England about kids, even down to the age of 6, getting their own smartphone. We're going to talk about that, too, right after this.